Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I'm Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris as always. We are just a few weeks out from WrestleMania in Las Vegas. Weird that it's towards the end of April, because we're like March 26th is usually when we're probably getting around to WrestleMania, or at least we're like a week away, and we got away a little bit, which is bad for some stories. So it's going to be an abbreviated look at what the landscape is right now before we go back to 2008, because we got to talk about 2009. We got to talk about No Way Out. So like I said, like, everything today is kind of, you get what you get, right? WWE title picture has been really slow because they're playing it up pretty much the same as last year. Cody's going to kind of have to shoulder the load of this because Cena only has so many dates, and Cena hasn't really said anything beyond to Cody directly beyond what he's saying to fans, which, I mean, hey, magnifique, but that's stuff that could be squirmed over later on down the line, right? The world championship is just ad nauseum, pick your poison of, oh, is Jay worthy? Is this an interesting feud? You know, too much time on their hands. None of that's interesting right now, right? No matter how you push it. So we could come to that when it gets closer to WrestleMania. I think on the women's side, you got one, with the triple threat on the Raw side, they're just taking their time to getting around to the point. I think it's a lot of stuff that you've seen in different, avenues. Oh, reassign the contract. Well, the contract's null and void. Well, she has a rematch clause. Like, it just gets to the damn point. And then on the SmackDown side, we just got a promo, an interview. We got a segment that may have given some juice to the feud, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. It was kind of lifeless for a little bit, and then Charlotte and Tiffany, the champion, did a kind of like a surveillance style, chat. And Tiffany, who is very, let's say she's green to the main event scene, because she is. She's only been champion for a couple months. She's going by the script. And it was a perfect time for Charlotte to flex her muscle and flex her experience and completely walk over Tiffany Stratton. No matter how you put it, she walked over the girl. The girl was a deer in the headlights. She didn't know what to do. There's been a lot of back and forth between whether or not you think that she was in the wrong, whether or not you think she's in the right, but has it made you interested in this feud?
Yeah, I got to admit, full disclosure, I don't really post anymore. I don't like...
For the better.
It's for the better, and also I think all that is just going by the wayside right now for me. It's become a thing of the past for me in pretty short order. But I don't resonate with the common online fan right now who's just mad about everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of hostility and stuff about the build, which, yeah, kind of seems like the case every year, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but I want to be clear, like, is my emotional investment where it was last year or 2 years ago? No, obviously not, because my favorite wrestler was involved in an A-block angle for the span of about 18 months. Now she isn't. So, you know, I'm enjoying myself just because I don't have any skin in the game right now. And I think that allows me to just be like, okay, what are my interests? So everything is kind of just like varying levels of fine and good. I'm, you know, very captivated, obviously, by Cody and Cena. The only thing that I have negative interest in right now is Charlotte and Tiffany, because Charlotte's walked all over. It wasn't even just this segment. The segment was a metaphor for the whole feud so far. Tiff has not gotten really a shot to look good, except for the time when she dove on her. But even those times, Charlotte avoided her both times.
Yeah.
So it's annoying. It's annoying because there's an obvious decision that can be made in Vegas, i.e. Tiff winning, because Charlotte winning, I think, goes back to a status quo that doesn't really exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no. So it's like, it's been rough, and that was the roughest so far. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect that to change over the next month.
Yeah, I don't really think so either. They've had one good segment, and it was the brawl last week. But like you said, you know, the dive kind of didn't have the impact because Charlotte kind of...
She missed it both times.
Yeah, so like, you know. As far as the Raw Women's Triple Threat, like, I think it'll be a good match. I think there's a really stupid way to take to get there, Kira. Kind of like you said, Pierce, like, you know, with the contract, but then not the contract, and now like... It was kind of like the WrestleMania 20 build, but also
really,
because
no,
Triple H had a non-finish, and like it actually made sense there. But.
There's so many layers to the WrestleMania 20 build that I don't see. This is a lot flimsier than that. I see what they're trying to do, but this is a lot flimsier than that. Shawn Michaels and Triple H had a seven-year feud, and they had a Last Man Standing match that came about after a contested finish at the end of 2003. On Raw in a world title match that they had that led to that. And there was another one. So Shawn felt that he had actual unfinished business with Triple H. He super kicked Voldemort and put his name on the contract for a one-on-one match. And Bischoff was confused because it was supposed to be Triple H versus the Rumble winner, but Shawn signed the contract instead. So yeah. Now what are they going to do?
Exactly.
That is not Rhea Ripley seeing a contract signed by two other people and putting her name on it to make it a third. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. So I think that people who are making that comparison, you're automatically leaving out a bit of history. You're leaving out 7 years of history if you're comparing this to that build. Mm-hmm. It's not that. I get what they're trying to do. Rhea is... But even when I say that, like, it's like, okay, she lost her title, but like, where is this trickle down of her descending into madness? It seems it's abrupt. It's been abrupt to me, is what I think I want to say. It would resonate more with me if it was something that they kept showing you rather than do it right now.
Yeah,
I think I've liked Bianca's progression through here. She's doing well. I think obvious, and you know, to that point, Rhea is obsessed with Bianca right now, and Io's the face of the situation. How I feel about having someone be overlooked, I don't know. That needs to be executed properly for me to see.
Yeah. No, I agree with that for sure. And I guess, I mean, we'll see how it looks after they're doing the rematch, obviously, with Bianca and stuff, refs. So we'll see how it looks.
There's going to be, you know, that's just a way to get to where we need to get to for the triple threat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think the other thing is, too, like, it's been interesting to see, I guess, with the reaction to Charlotte and Tiffany. Like, on one hand, I get it, because Charlotte kind of, you know, she didn't help in the segment, obviously. But at the same time, like, Tiffany is the world champion. So, like, she does need to be ready for that sort of thing, too, I guess. Like, she shouldn't need her hand held through it, but no, I get you though.
But that's you're asking her to you're that's swimming upstream. No one's ready for that.
Yeah, but also, like, I agree with you, Rob, in the sense that if you are in the main event picture and you look around the four main title matches, you're easily the most overshadowed of the four. If you're Charlotte, you gotta help your girl along, not hurt her. And this is the part where you become a coach, not, you know, the star player. You got to coach someone along to come up to your level, not demand that they do. That's some shit. Let's put it in another sport, in another perspective. That's some shit Brett Favre would have did to Aaron Rodgers, or Aaron Rodgers would have did to Jordan Love. That's some shit that the starting QB would do to the backup, who eventually is going to take their place. And I don't think that's for professional wrestling, at least in this day and age, the right way to go about shit if you're Charlotte. I understand you is a pecking order. I understand that, you know, you feel that you are in a certain place. But you ain't going to be there forever. And Tiffany's a girl that 10 years down the line could be Charlotte Flair, or in the same realm of Charlotte Flair. So this is an opportunity for you to help make girls and then make your legacy. And I don't think that what she did, I mean, you know, not saying it was wrong or it was right, but I don't think it necessarily helped anything.
You say you bring up the 10 years thing. Charlotte implied she wouldn't have a job in 20 years when she was her age. I didn't think that helped at all.
No. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's not helpful, obviously.
No. I mean, jeez. Sure. Like.
Yeah, but no. I mean, again, I think that feud, yeah, definitely needs more than the Raw women's side.
It's not going to, but the thing is, it's not going to get more.
No.
Look at the roster and the way SmackDown is created and constructed. They don't have anything to work with. And to be honest with you, considering how Charlotte made her grand return, I can't imagine that that wasn't done on purpose. But so they gutted SmackDown.
Yeah.
They took all that away. They did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So the feud is what the feud is. It's not going to improve at this point.
Yeah.
There would need to be way more given. Tiff would need to be given way more. And I don't see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So this will continue to be what it is. And just if Charlotte just wins, it's going to be annoying.
Yeah.
Yes. Charlotte wins really LOL would be really annoying.
Yeah, exactly. It kills Tiffany's momentum.
It's really hard to do that when you're pushing so much new.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, it's obviously the biggest match Tiffany will be a part of at that point. So, like, you can't just ever lose that, I don't think. Like, I don't know. Like, it just... It is, like you said, it's strikingly like how they used to do things if they, you know, come back and just have Charlotte win. We've seen it a million times, you know, with Asuka, and
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. Like, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, how do you guys feel about the build in general so far? Because, like, it kind
it's of slow.
Feels like it's going a little bit slow. But they
it's
also
definitely
have,
slow.
They also feel slow because they have so much time left. Still.
That's the thing too. Like, it's like, oh my
we're
god,
just preconditioned for this time of year, Pierce. Like you said, to be like, oh, WrestleMania is next week, or you know, the week after, and not still a month away.
Yeah, but I also think like that could it's was working at WWE's detriment right now. The fact that you have so much time in between the last pay per view, which was March 1st. In WrestleMania, which is April 20th, is now like I use Jay Jay and Gunther as an example, is that you set that match in stone in early February, a match that wasn't going to happen for 2.5 months later, and now we've reached a point where folks are kind of tired of the feud and they want to see an extra gear of it, or they haven't really done what they needed to do, which was make Jay feel to a lot of people like he deserves to be champion. So, like, you've now worked yourself into a hole with a lot of these storylines, and that you have way too much time and you're not giving enough time to other shit. I think there are a lot of down ballot matches that probably could get that attention. I understand you want to, you know, put together a multi-man match, you know, for a lot of situations for WrestleMania. I don't think they've done a great job of setting those up. You know, IC title side, I guess we could start there because, you know, decent way to end Monday Night Raw, even if it was a fuck finish, kind of established the guys that you were going to have in that match.
Yeah.
So I do like that that's probably the match that's going to have the least amount of people of all your multi-mans, though.
Oh, I agree with that because SmackDown looks like it might have, like, fucking six.
Too many goddamn people.
That might even still include somebody who's clearly on their way back. That being Malachi Black. Wouldn't surprise me if that happened, just based on the fact that I think he's going to be back before Mania. And again, they are going to at least have, I think it's going to be at least six that are all chasing after LA Knight. Five. They've done I'm fine with the Fatal 4-Way for the IC title. I'm fine with it, you know, involving Judgment Day. This is just going to sound me being cranky. Jesus Christ, can we get on with it already?
Yeah, I mean...
Please, God, just split already. Just do the thing. Please. I'm so...
I guess they're trying to wait till Raw after WrestleMania. They're probably just waiting till Raw after WrestleMania, but just fucking do it. Let's go. Yeah. Let's do it. It's time.
Yeah, I mean, the factions are, you know, whatever they are. It's been 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do something different.
I mean, we've talked about
3 years is a long ass time, especially for this faction of all ones.
And it's kind of hamstrung Raw's tag division.
It has absolutely hamstrung Raw's tag division. Because they bogarted the titles forever. Nobody was able to get any room, and they didn't have anybody on the show who was able to move about. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, you gotta do something different. Because again, they've been the course of the show since Triple H came back.
Mm-hmm.
That has not changed one second. That has not even moved shows.
Well, yeah, I mean Priest, obviously.
Priest isn't part of Judgment Day anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, no, and I mean, like, I get they probably wanted to do the match with the Wyatts. It seems clear. It seems like injuries or whatever.
Yeah,
or some fucking whatever's happened. I mean, JD got hurt, obviously. But that doesn't help. And then I think Joe Gacy or Dexter Lumis is hurt or whatever too.
And I know Bo
whatever was hurt. Whatever might be going on with Alexa Bliss right now.
Cursed.
Yeah.
Cursed.
So, but the thing is with that too, like. If that's not going to work, you need to pivot and either...
Just pivot.
Do something different, yeah.
Because Finn and Dom are going to be in probably the Intercontinental title.
Yes, it's going to be Penta, Finn, Dom, and Braun.
Yeah.
I saw that, so yeah, they're going to be involved in that.
Yeah. So, like, that's fine, but yeah, I think Raw after WrestleMania or whatever, you can split them up. Because, like, the Liv and Dom thing, it's been, like, 6 months ago where you're like, oh...
What I'm trying to just blow up this version.
Oh, okay.
Because they've been doing this shit... Where for like a year now, I even thought that at first it was Liv and Finn who were going to do something to just pop off and go. We've been doing this for a year. This scheming and back and forth has been going on for about 6 months since Liv joined the Judgment Day. Like, come on, let's do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Judgment Day for me... I've been tired of them for a minute, and I really honestly think that, like, they could have survived if it was just Dom and Liv. You know, once they kind of did everything, they kind of could have just fucking ended this shit in November, because the purpose of it's been served. You know,
you did the
War Games match. You made them shine as a stable. You had them hold two of the main titles. For both your star male and your star woman, both elevated them. You know, I think we're good. And I think you can probably even start pivoting Finn back to a face role. I don't think that, and like credit to Finn, I think Finn's made a great effort of this. If you're going to do heel Finn Balor, he has to be cool. This Finn Balor is no longer cool. And I think it's just a testament to how long this has lasted. So give it up. Let's be done with it. Carlito can go do something else or just be a legend around the streets, because it's not like Judgment Day is really doing anything for him. JD can rest and recover, and hey, if you end up turning Finn face, you guys turn your back. I don't know how to fucking do an Irish accent. You guys turn your back on me, and then bam, you got an instant feud with JD and Finn. Exactly. Dom's going to elevate because he needs to elevate. He's now stagnating. You know, he needs to get a mid-card title as soon as he possibly can. And then the other two, they're fine as a tag team. So,
yeah.
Get the fuck done.
Exactly.
US we briefly touched on US, like there's going to be LA Knight. I think they're, you know, haven't heard anything about Shinsuke's status, but if he's still in the company, then yeah, he should probably be a part of a multi-man match there. Not that I necessarily care, just in totality, like SmackDown is what it is. You know, it is what it is.
They've done what the great work that they've done with the IC title. They cannot figure out how to make the US title worth a shit.
No.
They have struggled with this since Triple H got back there. I don't think there's been a point in time where I've like wanted to really see the US title. They tried the thing with Seth. It was fine, but it wasn't like it wasn't anything. It wasn't anything like, you know, must see, I don't think. I don't sit here and remember that like I do Gunther's Intercontinental Championship reign. So with that being said, you know, there's a lot of mid-carders on SmackDown who will probably get here. I do wonder, because it's clear that they're not going to do Jacob versus Solo, I wonder how much presence they will have in this match.
Is that clear now, though? Because they kind of went back to it.
They would need to drop a big shoe. That needs to be a big angle. They need to start intimating that bigger.
Yeah.
If they're not going to do that, I could see Jacob and Solo being in a U.S. title match, along with Braun. So that's Knight, Shinsuke, Jacob, Solo, Braun, Big Jim. Gunther writes him. Unless Gunther writes him off. If he writes him off, then need one more person.
That's probably happening.
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean.
Then Malachi, there you go.
Oh, yeah, Malachi.
Well, I was going to say, where the hell does Braun Strowman fit into this WrestleMania? Because for some reason, like, he has to be in one of these damn matches.
He'd be in the U.S. title match. Him and Jacob would do something fucking crazy that would make people jump.
Yeah.
You could make that work.
Yeah.
You could make that work.
Yeah. Wow. Or, I mean, you know, if it's not Malachi, it could be Rey Fenix, but.
Very good point.
Because they're already
very good point. Yes,
they're already teasing
they
him.
Already
yeah.
are, they're, yep, they are launching him. That is correct. They're obviously not bashful, so yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. There are interesting parts to the build.
There are
Whole of it. It feels weird, but I think it's just the time of the year we are, and I think they know that they moved WrestleMania too far because they moved it up a week already for next year.
I think it's also just that it's just the product of. They have new stories.
Yeah, that's fair.
And we were dealing with threads that were stretching beyond years that went into Mania 40.
Mm-hmm.
They put a lot. They thrust a lot of emotion on it. They did all of that. It's hard to regather, especially just in a year's span. I think that. But I think even with that said, like even if you want to complain about the build, I guess all these matches have been built up for months. Years, even in some cases, 8 year in some cases. Priest and McIntyre, they dated back to when, you know, Drew was the mercenary of War Games in 2023.
Yep.
Priest was still holding money in the bank. I mean, Seth Punk and Roman, you know, 10 years. We've been going on there for 10 years. Jay and Gunther was a series of matches that became a build. Cody and Cena, obviously that hasn't been built up for months. That's one of the quicker ones. Charlotte and Tiff, also same thing. Bianca, Io, Rhea, yeah, I guess in a quicker there. But some of the lower matches like we were talking about, that they could produce more and do more with, those have been built up for a while.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I do think, and you mentioned Roman, Seth, and Punk, we're kind of just jumping all over the place, but I think Roman does need to be around a little bit more. I think it's been a little bit aggressive.
Well, because I think the thing is, Roman likes to work Fridays, clearly.
Oh yeah,
and most of the stuff has been Seth and Punk on Mondays because they were both on Raw.
Yeah, but even last week they were all there and for the first time, and it didn't really feel as energetic as you thought. To me, this feud is kind of like obviously Roman coming back for the cage match that was cool, but like the promo before that, the week before that Seth and Punk did was like, that's the money. You don't even need Roman.
So you think that there's some weight missing here?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. And I think it's almost the same for Cena and Cody, too, because where's The Rock? They're not even really addressing, like, his role in it. And, like, maybe he'll, I guess they don't know when he'll show up because, you know, he just shows up whenever.
Yeah. They've been relying on Cena to do the heel promos that he's never been able to do and doing them in front of a foreign crowd. I don't think they've
Doing a good job.
He's doing a great job. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's doing a great job, but they're relying on that. And there's nothing within the story that they're telling right now that's advancing it. It's really just to do the nostalgia of Cena on the heel run. And, there's pros and cons to it. I think people are enjoying when Cena comes out, but then the second Cody comes out, it's like, oh, fucking Cody. Because we know what's happening. We know they're not really moving shit or advancing shit or giving you an opportunity to really give a shit about Cody and his what he has to overcome. And that's only the detriment of one person, and that's Cody.
I think they'll get there. I do.
Fucking have to.
You know, they got London coming up. They got Chicago coming up. They got crowds that are going to really play into probably booing Cena. And, well, I mean, maybe. We'll see what Chicago does.
Yeah. Right. That would be fun. I can't imagine that. I
don't boo him. Let's stop acting like the American crowds are anything like they used to be.
Okay, but here's my thing. One, I don't know why they're talking about this whole like, oh, Cena's not advertised. Blah, blah, blah. Cena needs to be at that Chicago show. For the first time in history, he's a fucking heel. He needs to be advertised for that fucking show. It's sad that he's not. Because
he does.
You know, they'll probably boo him. They probably will, but what if? What if that's the one thing that gets Chicago fans to now all of a sudden fall in love with the child? How fucking funny would that be? So goddamn funny.
I agree, but it is true that he's not advertised for that show. He better go there. They better surprise everybody and have him show up there. Because I'm just gonna say this also, like, I don't know if he's booked for Chicago later this year. They may have another show in Chicago. They usually
do, yet, but they will.
But you can't do John Cena as a heel for the first time ever and not have him go through Chicago, for God's sake.
Chicago or New York. Yeah, I don't know if like Brooklyn's on this tour.
You have at least a little time for New York to hit back there or whatever. Or you want to do a house show.
Forever, though. I mean,
no, but like they're going to go back to the East Coast, too.
Well, yeah, for sure. But I mean, he's not advertised for anything after Raw next week. And that would be surprising if he just isn't there for the rest of the build, unless The Rock is coming back.
But that would have to be advertised too.
Yeah. So.
So I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know. It's and again, like, none of this is to say that I'm not looking forward to WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania. Like, there's very few truly bad ones. This one's not going to be bad. Like,
no,
they don't have bad pay per views. They have long pay per views. They have some pay per views with some boring matches, but they don't have bad pay per views anymore. They didn't really at the end of Vince either. Like, they've had good pay per views for 5-6 years in a row because everyone gets in there and does their thing.
We can skip 2019 and the pandemic years. Let's shorten that to like 3.
Yeah, that's fair. But like the thing is too, like, does it have the hype that WrestleMania 39 and 40 did? Maybe not.
Why do
like,
we need to compare that?
Well, that's the thing too, because you never know too. Like 38 had no hype in the first night.
38 no hype. Everyone was dogging the shit out of that WrestleMania.
31 is another one.
31, everyone dogged the
everyone
shit
hated,
out of
it. Yeah.
They played Tug of War.
31, 33, everyone hated the builds, and they wound up being really good WrestleManias.
Yeah, so like...
Yeah, so...
It'll be fine.
And 34 had the best build that they had in like 10 years.
And
they pissed it. They pissed it all away.
They did.
So like, we talk about the build, and like, I feel like the reason why this build hasn't been as good, it's difficult because I think the location is wonderful, but you have jacked ticket prices up so fucking high. And I understand like most of these tickets are already sold for the diehards that really want to go. But for other people that like might want to chime in for a weekend, I don't think that this has really been an accessible WrestleMania to the point where like people want to give a shit about it. Maybe that's just me because I'm the person that goes to these WrestleManias, but
I get what you're trying to
angle at. You know, they have obviously pushed the prices up enormously to a ridiculous level.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And you know, you would want people to want to go, but I think Mania has always had a, well, you're lucky to go because it becomes a whole thing because you have to maybe spend on flight, maybe spend on hotel.
Shit, now I'm like, man, I wish I would have gone more back in the day because this shit's fucking ridiculous.
I feel you. And I'm very glad that I went to the three that I went to, even though
35 is bad, but
all the ones that I 30, went to 34. Were bad.
The first three WrestleManias I went to were fucking ass. So, like, that whole you're grateful to be there, no. I was fucking miserable. Like, is this it? What the fuck?
I went to 25, 29, and 35. I have nothing to write home about, okay?
Yeah.
Like, all those shows have irredeeming qualities about them or just flat qualities about
them. Yeah, for sure.
But all of them also had, like, at least one amazing match, at least. But, yeah, I think it's unfortunate because, you know, everyone should get to experience a WrestleMania. It's a lot, but everyone should get to experience it or be within range to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, they've made it exorbitant as hell. And it's hard to catch a buzz when it's like that.
I thought all their shows are too, though. I mean, we're looking at going to Backlash, and I mean, that's not terrible. And, you know,
no, yeah,
but for Backlash purposes, it's kind of ridiculous how Backlash is kind of, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. The B tier pay per view shouldn't cost as much as the A tier.
No, they shouldn't. They're definitely poor on that for sure. I think it's definitely a story aspect just because, you know, you had a lot more time steeped into this stuff. But does that mean that, you know, things can't be stronger? No, of course that they can be stronger.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing.
And that's what they really have to hammer home over the next month or whatever.
I mean, you deal with the constraints that how you deal with them. You weren't thrilled with the fact that with how they've set up the Punk interaction with Roman and Seth this week.
Yeah.
Because Roman wasn't there and they didn't have Seth there. He's been in LA. Yeah.
No, and I have a bad feeling that this favor is just gonna be, you know, Paul, make sure this match main events WrestleMania, which that's kind of really lame.
No, I think it's gonna be I think it's gonna be for a world title shot.
So I mean
I think that they're gonna put a world title shot on the line because Punk wants to get through his enemies to get what he wants, which is a world title shot.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
That's what I think.
So, I mean, if it's the world title shot on the line, I don't see a reason why Roman or Seth need to win this match. I think this would be a main event for Punk to go home and a crowd to go home happy watching Punk
and
get his title
and
shot.
Just to call it whatever, what without knowing anything, what do you guys think the likelier scenario is, really? Roman wins and he gets a title shot? When? He's not because they shouldn't do Roman Cody anywhere except for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He's not gonna go after the world champion, obviously. He's not gonna go after Jay. That's stupid. And then Seth and Punk are left to fight over whatever while Roman gets all the attention. What does that do but have us go back in time? Seth winning and Roman and Punk feuding doesn't seem likely. I don't know because that doesn't feel like it's gonna happen in the spring, or it would have to wait until the summer anyway.
Mm.
Or Punk wins. Roman does his thing that he usually does around this time of year anyway.
Go home.
And Seth is mad that Punk won.
Yeah.
Option C, I think, is where I think we're going, in my opinion.
Option C, I think, is definitely where we're going. I don't see a reason for the other two to win. Just point blank, period.
I don't either. I guess even if there wasn't a title shot on the line, I don't see any reason for Roman.
No, who has the most to gain from winning this match? It is CM Punk. For Roman Reigns, Roman doesn't need to win this match. Would it be a notch on his belt? Yeah, sure. But he doesn't need to win this match. Seth is Shawn Michaels, if we're talking WrestleMania. Not in terms of, like, putting on the great matches, even though he does that. But he's a man that can eat a loss to WrestleMania because, you know he's going to put in the work. So, Punk could, I hate to say it, elevates him because, you know, it's fucking CM Punk, but, you know. But
it does elevate.
Right, exactly.
Because I think that as I'm thinking about this in my head, I think that they're going to, because Paul Heyman's right there. First of all, I'm still waiting, and I still think that this is going to turn into a three-way dance.
I hope it does.
Being there again. They're maniacal enough to do that, especially if it's a main event. They can turn that into like a 35-minute fucking match. Roman can do whatever he wants and rest however long he wants to.
Mm.
And second of all, I think that that Punk and Seth are going to pin Roman simultaneously to take him out of the match. Because I think Roman isn't just going to want to lose. He's going to want, you know, if he's going to lose, it needs to be significant.
I really don't think it's going to be an elimination match, though.
I
know you do, but they don't do that.
That doesn't look who we're dealing with.
I agree.
It's Paul Heyman. If it's going to main event, they know what they're doing. They can't just do a 30-minute random ass triple threat.
I agree.
I think they would do that.
I hope they do. That would make it a lot more interesting.
Because Punk has to go through them both. They're telling you that. He has to go through both of them. He can't just... You can't do that with a normal triple threat match.
Nope.
I think they're maniacal enough to try that. And I hope that they do. Because I think that would add so much to the match. That's another thing. It's not just a fantasy for me. It would add something to the match, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, again, you're not wrong. And I think, again, I know they don't do it, but in the main event spot, that is probably...
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm saying. It's in the main event spot. You want to make it an epic, make it an epic.
Yeah. Fair enough.
This has been great discussion. We got how much more time we got? 3 more weeks until WrestleMania. So, yeah, but we got a little bit more time to go a little bit deeper once some stuff gets fleshed out. But for now, let's go back to February of 2009. No Way Out is this month. I think it's the last.
It is indeed the last.
2012.
No Way Out really until 2012, but that was out of sequence by then.
Yeah. Right.
Because Elimination Chamber had replaced it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Elimination Chamber replaces it in 2010. So, yeah, this is the last of No Way Out as we know it. And Randy Orton is your Royal Rumble winner. So, that's what you need to know.
Real quick, also in February 2009, the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Arizona Cardinals in Super Bowl III.
Classic.
Yeah, very good Super Bowl.
Very good game.
Obviously, James Harrison with the interception return right before halftime kind of swung the game, but Arizona pulled off a comeback and then fell short because
Santonio Holmes,
Bears legend, you know, made a big catch, biggest catch of his career.
Why don't I remember that? Yeah. I remember that, but I don't remember that. Is that sad?
He was definitely on the Bears, wasn't he?
I think so.
He played a season for the Chicago Bears, 2014. Yeah, because I was so checked out that season. That sounds about right. He was waived on November 11th. He had played 9 games, 8 catches, 67 yards. That's why I absolutely don't remember.
But yeah, there's not much going on in wrestling in February 2009, as there usually isn't in February. Manu got released, so it's just Ted and Cody now. And Randy for Legacy, which would be fair enough, you know.
Don't think Manu is going to be missed.
No, I don't think so. Top 10 movies for the month were, starting with number 10, Gran Torino, still sticking around, Pink Panther 2, Confessions of a Shopaholic, Paul Blart Mall Cop, Slumdog Millionaire sticking around, Coraline, Friday the 13th at number 4 for the month, which... It's crazy to release that in February, to be honest with you.
But yes.
February 13th. So
this is a pretty decent, like, horror movie month, February. It's like a sneaky big horror movie month. I don't know why.
Number 3, Madea Goes to Jail. Number 2, He's Just Not That Into You. And number 1, Taken.
Taken was Taken. February 2009?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen any of those movies.
I feel like after the first one, you've seen them.
Yeah, fair.
Like, Liam Neeson plays the same fucking character in every movie. Once you've seen one Liam Neeson movie, you've pretty much seen the rest of them.
Yeah, yeah. No, that definitely tracks. Alright, all of the top 5 songs for the month. Love Story is stuck at 5 for most of the month. Heartless is at 4. Single Ladies is at 3. Your 2 songs to reach number 2 were Just Dance and Dead and Gone. We had 3 different number 1 songs, Right Round by Flo Rida, Crack a Bottle by Dr. Dre, Eminem, and...
50.
Yep. And My Life Would Suck Without You by Kelly Clarkson.
They never released Crack a Bottle as like a, you know, it wasn't on the album or anything, it was just a standalone.
Yeah, kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that was like the reintroduction for Eminem after he went through everything he went through, and... it was like his first record in like 3.5 years, maybe solo. Call a solo record or whatever. But yeah, that shit was hot when it first came out.
Yeah. Yeah. Eminem is at this time gearing up to make what album?
Relapse.
Yeah.
Recovery's the next year. Relapse is, it is what it is. It's like, it's your first sign that, oh man, Slim Shady kind of needs to just go away. And then he comes back with Recovery, and Recovery is very honest, and it's a great record. Then he comes back to doing shady shit, just like, whatever. But
yeah,
Relapse had one of my favorite songs, Beautiful. Absolutely wonderful song. So, yeah.
All right. No Way Out, 2009, Seattle, Washington, Key Arena. Going to Seattle for a pay-per-view. Kind of crazy, to be honest with you. That might be their first one since WrestleMania 19. Just offhand, I don't remember too many other times they were in
Seattle. No, I
probably need to go more.
Were in Seattle, like, very much
yeah,
at all.
They should, honestly.
They should, yeah.
All right. Final stop on the road to WrestleMania 25, which we're not calling the 25th anniversary because it's not the 25th anniversary. Let's get into it. We got Elimination Chamber match to start the night. Undertaker, Big Show, Kozlov, Triple H, Jeff Hardy, and Edge for the WWE Championship. Got here through a series of qualifying matches. Obviously, probably the top six guys on SmackDown right now.
Yeah, I would say, without a doubt.
And this is Jeff's rematch for the championship, thanks to Vicky Guerrero. Got to get it through an Elimination Chamber match, and he's leading it off with Edge. About a minute in, Edge goes for a spear, and Jeff rolls him up for an elimination, which I think is the only time that in the first two guys there's been elimination.
Yeah.
I believe so.
And the funny thing is, the second that it's happened, I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if somehow... Yeah. Not going to spoil it, but yeah.
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 So after Edge gets eliminated, we get... Kozlov and him and Jeff wrestle for 5 minutes, and it's bad. And then Big Show comes
in. So bad.
Does Big Show coming in make things better?
No. Fuck no.
No. Extent, I guess. Yes.
Mostly him and Kozlov just kind of pick Jeff apart, and then Jeff comes back, and he's able to get a little bit over on him, and then Triple H comes in, and it's two babyface and two heels. So Jeff and Triple H kind of work together for a little bit. They team up to suplex Kozlov, but it's short-lived because then Jeff hits Whisper in the Wind on Triple H, but he can't do anything because The Undertaker's here now. Filling up.
It is filling up.
Undertaker goes right for Big Show. Kozlov does punches on Undertaker in the corner and gets a last ride and eliminated, and that's about it for Kozlov, to be honest with you. I don't remember too much more that he does. I mean, again, I wasn't watching at this point, but the experiment did not work.
It did not.
Doesn't he team with Brodus Clay?
I think so.
That sounds
about right.
I know Tenzai team with Brodus Clay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who
cares?
Yeah, fair. Big Show throws Jeff at Triple H, which is always a cool move. Also the only person standing because he took down Undertaker. So
correct.
Big Show's got some momentum here. Jeff goes to the top of the pod, but Big Show grabs his foot to slow him down. And in that time, Big Show also kind of goes to the top rope, and Undertaker superplexes him. Then Jeff hits the Swanton, and that's it.
It is.
Big Show's out.
Yep. They did that spot pretty well.
They did.
I liked how they constructed that. It was pretty obvious that Hardy was going to hit him with the Swanton, but he just needed to put in the right spot. They did. So that was really well done.
Yeah. So we're down to Triple H, Undertaker, and Jeff Hardy. Undertaker tombstones Jeff shortly later. That'll do it for Jeff pretty much as a WWE top guy.
Yep.
Real shame. Then Undertaker and Triple H get like 10 minutes together. It's actually quite good.
Like it is.
A lot. Undertaker gets snake eyes, goes for the boot, but Triple H hits him with a spine buster. Get a pedigree a little bit later, only two, and then eventually, after the finishing sequence, Triple H gets the best of him and gets the win, and he will face Randy Orton in Houston for the WWE title. Now, at this point, you knew you were going to Houston, right?
I did. I did know I was going to Houston by then, because I bought my tickets several months ago.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So
you're very excited for Triple H and Randy Orton.
I was excited for this match. I didn't know what I was getting into. I was excited. I was excited for the Hardys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Edge is in the back, and he's very mad at Vicky, even though it's not really her fault that he got eliminated immediately, which she tells him. And but now she's backing down because she doesn't want to hurt his feelings or whatever. Exactly. since their show is taking place in Seattle, we get B-roll of fishes being tossed at Pike Market.
Great place.
Like it's an NFL game.
Great place.
Yeah, yeah, very good things. Randy Orton and Shane McMahon are up next. More on that in a moment. Before the match, Randy asks Shane how Vince is doing, says he's going to make Vince watch Shane cry and scream for his life tonight. You know what? Fair. And it's time for that match. You might be asking yourself, why is Shane McMahon here? He has not been here in quite some time.
No, he has not been here in some time. He showed up after the whole thing happened when Vince got punted and when Stephanie got RKO'd and whatnot. They made it a whole thing.
They did. So, yeah, Randy's kind of been taking out the McMahons, which, you know, honestly, good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Thank you.
He tried to punt Stephanie, but Shane got in the way.
Yep. And, yeah, you know, these two have an interesting match. I'm
they
not gonna lie.
Very not interesting match.
As good as the Shane, you know, plunder matches of...
No, because it's one of his first matches back since he hasn't been there for 3 years.
It's not, obviously, as good as, like, Orton and
no.
Foley.
No, not like, at all.
It's good for what it is. Orton gets very bloody, which is nice because, you know, it's 2009. They're not really doing that anymore, so we got hard weight at some point, I would imagine. Shane gets a kendo stick after Randy gets a big advantage early, but Shane evens things up with the kendo stick. Was going to do the announce table elbow dive, but Cody and Ted came out, and no one was able to save Shane, though, but he was able to roll off the table when they were trying to dive, so kind of worked out.
Indeed.
And then Shane finally is able to go for the elbow drop, and Randy moves. So all that, and it didn't work. Towards the end, Shane's got some momentum going, Randy's down, and Shane is going to punt him, little turnabout there, and Randy gets up and hits the RKO out of nowhere for the victor.
Yep.
Effective.
Very effective. Orton continues to take out the McMahons. Now he knows he's facing Triple H. They do not have any segments with each other the rest of the show.
No.
Moving on to the ECW Championship match between Jack Swagger and Finlay. How much time are we spending on this one?
Well, Jack Swagger beat him to retain the ECW Championship, as it's written on there.
Yes.
Christian is back. He was not on this show, but
he was
back.
Not on this show.
He came back. I mean, we talked about him coming back.
Yeah.
Last time. I don't know if he came back for sure yet, but a lot of people thought that he would be back, and he just kind of showed up on ECW instead of in the Rumble or this match or anything like that. So
yeah, not in the match with Jeff Hardy and Edge at the Royal Rumble, obviously.
Shawn Michaels wins his freedom back against JBL because that was still going on.
Yes, it was. Also, he came back on February 10th.
Okay, so yeah, he is back.
He is.
Kind of weird to not have him on the pay-per-view.
Kind of.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels won his freedom back from JBL. Crowd does not care about this.
No, JBL is just not interesting anymore, enough anymore to be in this role. This match took place like 4 years ago. It would probably be much better, but it isn't, so it's not.
Yeah, I mean, Michaels is trying, but there's only so much you can do. And so, at this point, was it clear he was facing The Undertaker? Or
couldn't really tell, just because, you know, Kozlov was in the match, the chamber. Mm-hmm. Michaels was still doing this, so.
That's fair. Well, they definitely end up with a good one there. So
they do. They do. They certainly do. We move on to our main event, which is supposed to be John Cena defending the World Heavyweight title against Chris Jericho, Kane, Rey Mysterio, Kofi Kingston, and Mike Knox. However, somebody from earlier shows up and crashes the party. Edge, who attacks Kofi before the match. You've seen it before. And takes him out. And yeah, now he's in.
They kind of got addicted to the ultimate opportunist stuff.
They really, really,
they really did.
It's like the fifth time we've seen it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the cash-in's great.
I think Survivor Series is 2007 is pretty strong.
Yeah. Survivor Series 2008, when he comes back, obviously is good because, you know, he's not Kozlov. So people are excited.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you keep doing it. It's like, why doesn't anyone else do this? Why don't you just take someone out? And the other note, kind of creatively, why is Mike Knox the guy that stays in there instead of Kofi?
Because it's like, you know, sure, you can give sympathy to Kofi, but you're never going to write that back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's just dumb.
No, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. I was just explaining where we were in this show now. So
yeah.
So you know, we go through here. Yeah, so Rey Mysterio is obviously pissed off now.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes after Edge. And So now everyone has an enemy, but John Cena is just chilling, and he eventually comes out last, and he would go right after Edge. I think at that point, you could kind of tell that, like, they were going to do something with Edge and Cena if they were going to put Edge in that match.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a matter of, okay, how are we going to get there?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Edge eliminates John Cena.
He does. John Cena's only in this match for 2 minutes, so.
And that's turnabout for Edge before, since he was taken out and, you know, was like, oh my God, it's a shock. There's going to be a new champion. And yeah. Now it's, again, shock. It's a new champion. But again, it's just, they got addicted to it.
We skipped a lot of the match.
No, but I'm just pointing out that that's what happened. That's where Edge gets to.
Yeah, no, for sure. So we get Ray and Jericho to start things off, and obviously they have a really good back and forth. They wrestle each other a million times by this point.
And at that point, it's like, okay, you would want them to face each other at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
They do not.
For sure. Kane comes in next and gets eliminated with a senton off the top of the pod from Ray. So that was a good elimination. I like that. Mike Knox is next. Not very good.
No, he's not.
No, he's not very terrible.
Good. I mean, it looked like he was going to hit a Sister Abigail on Rey Mysterio, and Chris Jericho hit a Codebreaker on him instead and eliminated Mike Knox.
I want to say this is one of his last big shots, but I'm not entirely sure on that.
I mean, yeah, I believe it is. He's still wrestling. He's in the NWA, which is crazy.
Jesus, yeah, that is nuts.
So yeah, then Edge comes out. We're down to Edge, Rey, Jericho, and Edge, Rey, Jericho, and Cena.
Cena, yeah.
So you know it's going to be good, you got four good guys there. Like you said, you know, Cena goes right at Edge. Goes for the FU, but Jericho hits a Codebreaker on him, and then Ray hits a 619, and Cena's out.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, you know, they did, at least it wasn't just Edge hitting a spear. Cena took three finishers,
mm-hmm.
so they protected him.
Yeah.
And then Jericho gets eliminated by Ray.
Yeah.
Now it's Edge and Ray. You know, we're going after each other at the beginning. They have been a long-standing thread since Ray got to the company.
Yeah, and honestly, the crowd is really behind Ray here.
The crowd was really, really behind Ray here, which is a complete shift in reversal from where we were last year at this point in time.
Yeah.
So that's very notable.
Like, oh, hey, maybe Ray's going to win. But no, then Edge just wins. So.
And again, you would think, you know, they've done the shtick a lot, and it's worked in their favor. It didn't seem like it did this time. The crowd was pretty dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes into what we were saying. Like, they probably hit the button too much.
Yeah.
Spammed it.
A little bit too much.
I don't think the crowd wanted to see Edge be champion again.
No.
Because, Jesus, he was champion, then he wasn't champion, then he was champion, then he wasn't champion, then he was champion. Oh my God, like, Jesus, like, 5 times in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I loved Edge, it becomes fatigue. After a certain point,
it does.
And yeah, they really have to figure their shit out. So,
yeah,
fine pay per view.
Yeah, not a bad show. There's never been a truly bad Elimination Chamber match. So when you have two of them on one show,
that's the thing
that helps.
That match is pretty recession proof.
There's one Intercontinental Title one from 2015. Or whatever.
That's forgettable.
Great. Yeah,
it's forgettable.
Yeah, talk about that one.
Got maybe the highest hit rate of like any of their stipulation matches. There aren't a ton of bad Hell in a Cell, but there's a couple.
There's a couple that are some of the worst matches you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one that goes 45 minutes.
There's one that ends in a no contest.
That too. yeah. So, I mean, I like the Elimination Chamber. That helps a lot. But yeah, No Way Out, not a bad show. Kind of sets the stage for Road to WrestleMania. I don't think I've ever actually seen WrestleMania 25 outside of Michaels and Undertaker.
Boy, is it a chore.
I'm excited, I guess.
Such a chore. We'll get towards it. I don't know if we're actually going to get to it. We'll get towards it. Because we got a little bit to go before WrestleMania, so we'll try to update you along the way. You can follow all of us on X, on Facebook, on Instagram. Baseball season's underway. Although we don't mention the first two games that happened. By the time you're listening to this, first pitch, opening day, is already here. Barbara Scheer will be in the building. If you are in Philadelphia or Chicago, you will see us. We'll see content from us this year on the Barbara's Chair for baseball season. We'll continue to have content for the Bears as the draft's coming up. So stay tuned for that. Lots more, man. Check out the merch shop. We'll drop in stuff throughout the spring. Subscribe to the Patreon. I don't know what else to plug. We just got a lot of new shit dropping in the near future, so be on the lookout for that. We'll continue down the road to WrestleMania. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. We'll see you guys later. Be good.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.